This meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors will now come to order. Please rise for a salute to our flag and remain standing for a moment of silence for James Layton, a Navy sailor who was killed in Afghanistan last week.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. We'll begin the meeting with the public comment period. For those people who would like to speak to the board on an item that is not on the agenda, I have a few requests to speak tonight. First, we'll have Mike Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm here tonight representing the California High Speed Rail Authority, and I'm here to announce that on October 28th and October 29th, we will be having two scoping hearings on potential alignments for the Sacramento to Merced corridor. One of those meetings will be here on the 28th in this building, in these chambers, I believe, and the other will be on the 29th in Turlock at the Assyrian American Civic Club. That will be an opportunity for the public to come in, ask questions of all the experts, talk to them about their concerns, their issues, their comments. And as part of the environmental review process, every comment and concern has to be addressed by the High Speed Rail Authority as the process goes on. Prior to those two meetings, there'll be a meeting with the Stanislaus County Working Group, which consists of your appropriate technical staff, the city staffs, and the High Speed Rail Authority people to discuss all of these issues on alignment, et cetera, in more detail so that everyone is on the same page in the scoping hearings on the 28th and the 29th. I just wanted to come and formally tell you that and let you know that we are ready to meet with any groups of your constituents that want more information on this project. We're excited about it. We think it's good news, and we're moving forward.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lynch. Any questions from the board? Okay, thank you. Joe Carcione. I hope I pronounced that properly.
Hi. I'm here as a representative of persons concerned in the community relative to an intersection of Clarabel and Terminal Way, most particularly my clients whose family was wiped out in an accident which killed six people. I had come before you to tell you that the recent information within the last week is that the County of Stanislaus refuses to do anything to this intersection, despite the fact the California Public Utilities Commission has recommended that the intersection be changed. What happened on the day of this accident is that a vehicle got caught on the train tracks because the traffic did not move forward. It did not move forward for whatever reason, but the reason it got caught was that there was only 40 feet, which is extremely small, area for traffic to move ahead, and so this vehicle just got caught on the track and got run into by a train and six people killed, which I understand is the largest amount of deaths in a traffic accident in the history of this county. The Public Utilities Commission says fix it. The railroad, prior to the accident, said to fix it. All it takes is to move the stay line, the limit line for the cars going east 10 feet or 15 feet to give more stopping distance. The critical nature of this is dramatized by the fact that you have 32 school buses every day that go through that intersection. I have a gentleman here from the school, elected representative of the school district in the city that whose school buses, Riverbank, whose school buses use that road every day, when whose school buses are 40 feet long. So every day, those school buses with 60 kids in them are forced to stop on that track. If the driver pops the clutch wrong, if there's an accident in front of him, if he floods the engine, if there's a truck that stalls in front of him, the back of that vehicle, if he stopped literally, will be sticking out on that track 3 feet. The trains going through there go 70 to 80 miles an hour without slowing down at all, as in our case. The limit line needs to be moved a stinking 10 feet. Mr. Machado, who is the head of the Public Utilities Commission, the public utilities in this county, he's the head of the Department of Public Works, told me that that the county will not change the configuration of that intersection unless they get money from the federal government. They put an application in, and if they're 130 money, 130 is a statute, and they will not have action on it for 8 years. And he told me that if they don't get that money, and they don't know that they will never fix that intersection. Despite the PUCs telling them that it needs to be fixed, despite the railroads telling them that it needs to be fixed, they refuse to move that limit line and to do anything about those stop signs. All in a drawing, simple and as easy to understand as any map you've ever seen. The limit line going east is a mere 40 feet, and it can be extended out 10 to 15 feet without any problem whatsoever. This accident where these six people were killed, four of them little kids, where six people were killed would not have happened. And if that limit line moves out a lousy 10 feet, no bus full of 60 kids from Mr. Mitchell's school district will have to stop on that track ever again. The limit line needs to be fixed. The canopy needs to be fixed, and the stop signs need to be looked at. PUC says it needs to be done. The railroad says it needs to be done. But Mr. Machado says it will never, ever happen unless he gets money 8 years from now. Thank you very much. Mr. Mitchell, on behalf of the school district, has something to say on the same topic. If anybody has any questions, I am absolutely delighted to have them and am delighted to answer them. I know all there is to know about this intersection. Drives me crazy. Every day, 32 buses with hundreds and hundreds of kids go through there. You can kill 40 to 60 kids tomorrow at that intersection. If anybody's got any questions, stand ready, willing, and able to give an answer now or any other time.
Thank you. Great. Thank you for your comments. Susanna Beasley.
Good evening. Thank you. Susanna Mendieta Beasley for the International Festival, and I'm here today for two purposes. First is to thank Stanislaus County for your continued support with the International Heritage Festival, and we're having our next festival on Saturday, October 3. And the second reason I'm here is to extend a personal invitation to you all and to all of our community to join us on this day from 11 to 5. It's a day filled with family fun, indoor-outdoor activities at the Gallo Center, music, dance, and food, cultural displays, and more. And that's why today I'm modeling for you a little bit of contemporary Guatemalan fabric. Not quite what the indigenous ladies would wear, but you will see many of us wearing our native outfits on that Saturday. And not only do we celebrate the many cultures that we have here in our county, we also celebrate what brings us together, which is our common American heritage. And I invite you to join us sharp at 11 a.m. for the Americana opening, and I'm sure you will be absolutely thrilled with our flag ceremony, the many, many different performers that we have, representing in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 different cultures. And as always, we are a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to improve the quality of life for ourselves and our community, to celebrate our many cultures, and to celebrate, again, what unites us, our American heritage. So I extend an invitation to you. Please come see us. We'll be at the Gallo Center on Saturday the 3rd from 11 to 5 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. John Mitchell.
Everybody's doing well. I'm from Riverbank. I've grown up in Riverbank, and I've been on the school board for 14 years. And the intersection that we're talking about the train is, I want you guys, if you guys get a chance, go out there and look at this so we can prevent this from happening again. It appears to be a very simple fix with some simple lines being ringed off. I talked to the bus drivers today, and we have about 40, 60 buses a week that go across that intersection. If the bus pulls up to where they have to stop, they are hanging over the railroad tracks a little bit. So we're asking if we can look at that, find a way to fix that so this doesn't happen again. This is just Riverbank school buses. Now, we have two other districts that go through there. And when we figured out, there's somewhere like 210 buses a week that cross that intersection for the kids. And we're just asking if you take a chance, take a look at it, and see what we can do with it so we don't have this happen again. It will be appreciated. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Is there anyone else from the audience who wishes to address the board on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. We will be pulling item B6 for a vote at a future time. Does any member of the board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Motion's been made for approval by Supervisor Grover and seconded by Supervisor Monteith. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay. Motion's carried. We will now move to agenda item number B10. I want to get this one out of the way because the budget might go on for a while.
Thank you, Chairman DeMartini. Members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, I'm here this evening to do something that I love to do, which is to accept money. The Stanislaus County Farm Bureau has agreed to donate $5,000 to the Sheriff's Office to help us with our bait program. And while I don't want to go into a lot of details about the bait program with you tonight, I just want you to think about fishing. Only tie it to criminals and you get the idea. This program has been around for some time, however, we have really ramped up our use of bait throughout the county. It has resulted in 18 arrests since March of this year. Our theft rate has dropped significantly over the last 2 years, and while I can't attribute all of that to the bait program, I think it has had a significant impact on what has taken place. This year alone, we have over 300 fewer, on pace to have over 300 fewer thefts throughout the county. In addition to that, 200 fewer thefts in our contract cities. The city of Houston's thefts are down 36%, Waterford's down 27%, and Riverbank's down 22%. We think that's significant. It certainly allows us to allocate our resources to do other projects out there. We're very pleased with that. And while the bait program targets primarily vehicle thefts, grand thefts, and petty thefts throughout the county, we believe that it also impacts our vehicle theft rate as well as our burglaries and other crimes. We're pleased that last year in 2008, our crime rate was the lowest it has been in over two decades. And we are lower this year over last year, and we believe we'll actually end up a little bit lower at the end of the year. So we're very pleased with the results of that, and I'm hoping, I have not seen Tom or Wayne Zipser here, there we go, from the Farm Bureau. We are very grateful for that, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you would like, or you can also address them to the Farm Bureau.
Any questions from the board? Supervisor Chiesa.
It's more of a comment. I guess I was at the Farm Bureau meeting, one of the few that I've attended since I've been elected, when your staff made a presentation, and I have to say it was excellent. And then I want to compliment the Farm Bureau for actually taking the time, and Mitch Etchebarn is out there, the president of the County Farm Bureau, for really taking the bull by the horns, because this, you know, the farmers see the benefit of this. They're going to see the benefit of this, but you're right, it helps all through society, whether it's car thefts in the city, because they're the same bad guys doing the work, and I'm not afraid to say things on the air because I know they're not watching. But again, it's a partnership, and this is something that we need to recognize, the public-private partnership, where where the public needs to, the private enterprise needs to recognize there's a benefit here, and for them to step up, I just want to compliment the Farm Bureau, and actually you guys did a great job in presenting it, and I think it'll work out just great. Here comes Mitch, he wants to say something, so, but thank you guys.
Yes, I do appreciate being able to stand here today and say that we, on behalf of Stanislaus Farm Bureau, we appreciate your efforts, your continued efforts towards the protection of the agriculture community. And yes, I do have the token here of our appreciation. And the fact of the matter is, this $5,000 is because several of the board members made personal donations toward your unit, and we hope that it continues to support your efforts out there. And again, from Farm Bureau, 4,000 members strong in Stanislaus County, we really, really appreciate your efforts, and we want to say thank you very much.
Now, let me take an opportunity to plug the Farm Bureau, because they are looking always for new members out there in the farming community. They are doing this for those people who are facing some very hard times. And I know it hurt several of these farmers to give up this kind of money when things are so tough out there. And let me also take an opportunity to acknowledge Cliff Emery and Andrew Hinkle and Larry Seymour, the sergeant over our unit. They have done just a great job, and they're an invaluable resource for us. And Cliff Emery actually is in Minnesota right now. He actually does presentations all over the country on this very program. And what I'm pleased to report to you is that he comes back and tells me that other counties don't support this type of program all across the United States, and we really are one of few counties that are doing this, and we're actually on the cutting edge. So this money here is going to allow us to purchase additional equipment, and at some point in time in the near future, we actually hope to have about 8 items of bait that we can put out anywhere in Stanislaus County when we see a trend of thefts increasing, and we believe this is going to be very effective. So, once again, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hine.
I'll make the motion. And we'll comment.
Make it a little louder, if you would, please.
Oh, I'd like to make a motion. I can't even remember. B10. Sorry to pass B10.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made by Supervisor Kiva and seconded by Supervisor O'Brien to accept the donation from the Stanislaus County Farm Bureau. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. We'll now move to our scheduled matters, the final adoption of the budget for 2009-2010.
Good evening, members of the board. As our senior staff makes themselves comfortable at the staff table, I would like to open with a few comments, if I may. First, looking out into the audience, you'll note many, if not all, of the county's department heads and senior leaders in attendance this evening, and that is expected in Stanislaus County. A level of participation, level of commitment, and level of support that we see day after day is reflected in the in this evening meeting and in the participation and active support of department heads and leadership of Stanislaus County representatives. So I believe I have said before, our current economic and financial challenges are the greatest I've seen in my almost 30 years in public service. 2009-10 was difficult, but thanks to the collaboration of county leadership and employees, we do have a balanced budget, and we are making progress in redefining the way county services are delivered. An undeniable fact is that further service level reductions are unavoidable, and we haven't yet reached sustainable budget levels. On the other hand, we have made significant progress in defining a new sustainable base level of funding, an adjustment that is necessary due to the decline in real property values. This decline will create a new lower revenue base from which many programs have been traditionally funded. Winston Churchill said, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." This is a quote that you read in our final budget message. fiscal years 2010-11 and 2011-12 will introduce both new challenges and new opportunities, and will ultimately be the platforms upon which core service levels will be defined and sustainable programs will be developed for Stanislaus County and our residents. I would not be fully honest if I said that we thought we were at the end of our journey and our budget reduction strategies. In fact, we are not at the beginning, but we are not yet halfway through our long-term strategy, which is a 3 to 5 year strategy. We anticipate that 2010-11 and 2011-12 will be equally challenging, and we see some daunting tasks in 2010-11 as we are already working to quantify what the true description and definition of mandated services are, but the true necessity for those services that we've typically identified as essential services will be, and what really represent the discretionary services that we provide in Stanislaus County. We have significant challenges ahead of us, but as I said at the outset, we have outstanding department heads, we have outstanding budget leaders, we're very, very fortunate to have an exceptional CEO, budget staff, and CEO leadership under the direction of Patty Hill-Thomas, Monica Nino, and the entire budget staff. I want to express my appreciation to all who have worked so hard in the departments, in the CEO's office, and in the community, because it has had a far-reaching effect in the development of our 2009-10 budget. I'll turn our time to our staff.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. You inspire us to do our best, so thank you as well. Good evening, members of the board. Patty Hill-Thomas, Chief Executive Office. Before we look back a little bit, I want to thank your board for your leadership and your determination to stay balanced in a really unbalanced time. And that leadership helps us do what we do in our regular financial reports to your board. And to thank our department heads and their staff who are present tonight. I'd like to ask the budget team to stand, please, instead of introducing all of them, because they're a group of people who work together through thick and thin and will continue and work. As we're presenting to you tonight the final budget, they need to get back upstairs shortly to work on the mid-year and next year's budget. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You're a pleasure and an honor to work with. 2 years or more of preparing for a future of declining resources, and that's pretty simply put, declining resources. We need to change and adjust. We're going to give you a slight recap of the proposed budget, an overview of the final budget, really, which results in little change. We're going to look at the final budget by your board priorities and talk a little bit about challenges and opportunities, ask for public comment, and then ask you to adopt tonight the final budget for 2009-2010. We thought it was important to look back a little bit because it's not all bad news, and it needs to be tempered in a bit with the significant reduction in resources, with the significant improvements that your board has led our community and organization to, and that our organization has responded. Going back to the 07-08 year, when we mostly talked about the fiscal challenges facing the county's clinic system, today we celebrate a balanced clinic system budget with no additional exposure to the county's general fund, with well over $6 million in federal money. But regrettably, reductions back in the 07-08 fiscal year at that time of 174 allocation positions, a trend which continues in tonight's recommendations. Reductions in force of an additional 142 positions in the 08-09. And because of the state's continued fiscal crisis and our declining revenues, reductions both mid-year 07-08 and through the fiscal year 08-09 and beyond to every county program, including county match. We have some opportunities and partnerships that are assisting us in moving forward in a new way. They include but are not limited to our partnership with Doctors and Memorial Hospitals to save our family practice residency program, the new Joint Powers Agency that will come back to your board for final approval in October for the delivery of animal services throughout the county with the county in five cities, and some maybe small but significant proposals like installing a non-potable well in a park in Salida, using some open source products that the real business world uses for voicemail. And our intention here is not to go through the ups and downs of county government, but to remind ourselves that we need to change and we need to look for the opportunities, particularly in these difficult times. We are recommending a second phase of reduction strategies for the current year. As you know, we have negotiated voluntary time off policy and furlough agreements with almost all of our unions, and so far had 24 reductions in force. Our departments are focusing on their core services, and in these coming months, we're going to focus on the specifics of what's mandated and provided by county government and what's essential to support your Board of Supervisors' priorities and goals. The interim spending plan that you adopted on June 9th, before the state budget was adopted, was an interim spending plan, and all of our general fund departments were issued a 12% reduction in net county costs for an estimated savings of $6.5 million, and most of that was achieved in the proposed budget. Our public safety departments were issued a 5% reduction in net county costs because public safety is our largest user of general fund dollars. You can see that that was a staggering $5.2 million, which is included in the budget you've already considered. Today's final budget doesn't change much, and we'll go through some level of detail that now, but sadly there are more targeted program reductions, in part because of line item vetoes in our aging programs, and also additional reductions in force where revenue is not present to support services that we provide, particularly this time in our General Services Agency. Our appropriations in the Safe Community priority are $157 million, and you can see all the way through that's the largest user of our general fund, the largest portion of our entire county budget, the Healthy Community over $466 million, which is representing an increase in the final budget. There is a 0.3% overall increase of the total nearly billion-dollar budget, and it's certainly well less than that billion now, a total change of $2.9 million from the proposed budget, a decrease in the general fund of nearly $1 million from the proposed budget. And our departments have been keenly aware and very focused on reducing their spending and only needed adjustments necessarily mostly to address the known changes in revenue or state budget impacts. One message we want to make clear tonight is that much of what was included in the final state budget is not yet known. For the most part, primarily in health and social service programs, the final allocations have still, as of today, not been released by the state. And we expect, particularly in public health, but perhaps social services, that those will require additional adjustments as we move through this coming year. The 09-10 final budget certainly presents some exposures that we would have liked to wish away, but we certainly could not. They regrettably include the loss of Williamson Act subvention, $1.47 million in general fund revenue, a change between the proposed and the final budget, an increased exposure from what we had previously set aside for State 1A funding for the state to come back on Prop 1A and take that money away from county governments, totaling $7.9 million. However, we have recommended the set-aside funds to fund these exposures. Again, a suspension of SB 90, the simple law that requires the state to pay counties for services that the state mandates the counties to provide. That suspension in the state final budget this year gives us an exposure of $9.6 million with some level of uncertainty about when the state will pay us back. There are program cuts and eliminations as a result of the state's fiscal crisis, and we have continued uncertainty about our local property tax dollars, our sales tax dollars, and particularly the Prop 172 sales tax revenues that support only public safety statewide are well below the predictions, and we are concerned about that revenue source. And we continue to engage in our health care and labor negotiations as we move through these very uncertain times. The 9-10 budget highlights chart shows you how little change there is that we're recommending to you tonight in appropriations of all funds. The bottom line shows you in Monocle review again staffing that in the final budget we're recommending another reduction in full-time positions down to 3,990 positions from over 4,450 positions just a short time ago in the 2008-2009 final budget. In terms of sources of funding, our discretionary revenue is significant in our total budget and our departmental revenue, most of which is state and federal reimbursement for state and health and community programs and social service programs. Okay, I'm close. In terms of discretionary revenue, you've heard us describe and commonly discuss this unprecedented discussion of reductions in property tax. We're not recommending a change in the final budget, but this chart is a little misleading because we've already had a significant reduction in property tax dollars to support local government. And we're already a low property tax county budget anyway. We get among the lowest amounts statewide in property tax, which means those local reductions, the result of our economy and the foreclosures, hurt our ability to provide local programs even more. We are not yet recommending a change in the Prop 172 revenue. However, we expect that we will talk to you about that at the first quarter report in November. We are recommending that the reduction in the Williamson Act subvention be eliminated in the county budget for the final budget and making that up with some other one-time funds. And so you can see the difference in discretionary revenue, a reduction of $1.8 million. And then finally, through it all, we are focused on your board priorities shown here for a safe community, a healthy community, a strong local economy, effective partnerships, a strong agricultural economy heritage, a well-planned infrastructure system, and efficient delivery of public services. And Deputy CEO Nancy Bronstein will take you through a greater level of detail in the change in each of your board priority areas. Good evening, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Devine. Nancy Bronstein from the Chief Executive Office, and I'm going to provide an overview of the final budget adjustments by board priority. For the priority of a safe community, a final budget of $157,845,041 is recommended. The largest department in this priority area is the Sheriff's Department at $85,075,500. For the safe community, a decrease in appropriations of $904,049 is recommended. For animal services, a decrease in funding of $66,185 is recommended to reflect the projected revenue from contract cities contributing to our animal services costs for this fiscal year. For the district attorney, an increase of $104,219 is recommended to complete voiceover internet protocol upgrades into the existing phone system, funded by public facilities fees, and increased funding for the Victim Services Unit from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. An overall increase in funding of $88,474 is recommended for increased funding awarded by the Edward Bryan Memorial Justice Assistance Grant and the California Gang Reduction and Intervention Program for the Probation Department. An overall decrease in appropriations of $1,030,557 is recommended for the Sheriff's Department. This reduction is primarily a result of a reduction in the number of training sessions at the Ray Triman Training Center, the reduction in force of four filled positions that was previously brought to the board for supervisors for approval, as well as other cost-cutting measures. For the priority of a healthy community, a final budget of $466,754,698 is recommended. The largest department in this priority area is the Community Services Agency at $271,678,169. For a healthy community, $1,099,883 in adjustments is increase in appropriations is recommended for this priority area. Significant program changes are still to come for this priority area, including changes to in-home supportive services, possible privatization of certain eligibility services, and the final public health allocations as a result of the state budget are still unknown. For the healthy community, a reduction of $281,837 is recommended for the Area Agency on Aging Veteran Services due to the governor's line item veto of three programs that serve seniors in the community, Linkages, Respite, and the Brown Bag Program, resulting in a reduction in force of three filled positions. Appropriations are recommended to increase overall by $183,326 in behavioral health and recovery services, primarily as a result of increased federal funding for seriously emotionally disturbed school-based population, an increase in the Mental Health Services Act as a result of additional state funding, and a decrease in funding as a result of the loss of all state funding for the Substance Abuse Prevention and Prevention Act budget. A decrease of $480,710 is recommended for the Department of Child Support Services to reflect actual costs for retirement benefits, resulting in a decrease in the use of fund balance. A decrease in funding of $350,000 is recommended for the Children's and Families Commission as a result of a reduction in contract appropriations and a reduction in interest and program revenue. In the Community Services Agency, several changes are recommended, resulting in an overall increase in funding of $2.8 million due to an increase in TANF emergency contingency funds and an increase in state and federal funds to fund all payrolls for the fiscal year. The Community Services Agency provides cash aid payments through its general assistance budget, which is 100% county funded. In order to align funding with costs, the department has completed a review of the general assistance programs, regulations, and mandates, and has identified two recommendations to changes to program eligibility. The recommended changes to the general assistance program include a one-time reduction in the maximum grant amount to be consistent with the temporary assistance for needy families grant benefit, and a reasonable time limit of 3 to 5 years for individuals to receive interim assistance while attempting to qualify for permanent disabled status. For the Health Services Agency, an overall decrease in funding of $772,507 is recommended as a result of state budget cuts to the Emergency Medical Services, Physician Reimbursement Program, Dental Disease Prevention Program, and Differential Response Program, as well as revised worker safe compensation cost estimates. For the priority of a strong local economy, a final budget of $34,163,117 is recommended. The largest department in this priority area is Alliance WorkNet at $24,257,833. Increased funding of $3,284,266 is recommended for Alliance WorkNet as a result of increased funding from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the Workforce Investment Act, additional job preparedness funds from StanWorks, and three new grants. For the priority area for the strong actual economy and heritage, a final budget of $4,645,511 is recommended. The largest department in this priority is Agricultural Commissioner at $4,185,999. There are no recommended adjustments to this priority area. For a well-planned infrastructure system, a final budget of $123,705,306 is recommended. The largest department in this priority is Public Works at $59,940,740. An overall increase of $28,113 in appropriation is recommended for this priority area. Increased funding of $28,000 is recommended for planning special revenue grants budget from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. A reduction in revenue is recommended in the Planning Building Permits Division as a result in the decline of construction permit revenue. And it is recommended to increase revenue by $5,360,000 in Public Works to reflect the department receiving all remaining Prop 1B funds in this fiscal year. For the priority of efficient delivery of public services, a final budget of $170,932,852 is recommended. The largest department in this priority area is CEO Risk Management Self-Insurance Funds at $67,819,479.
For this priority area, a decrease in funding of $575,793 is recommended. An increase in funding of $32,550 is recommended for the Chief Executive Office to complete an update to the Stanislaus County Public Facilities Fee Program funded through a transfer from PSF Administration. Also recommended is a decrease in funding of $68,386 in CEO County match, which will result in the reduction in the Health Services Agency payment from tobacco securitization interest earnings. A decrease in funding of $235,251 in CEO risk management workers' compensation self-insurance funds to reflect the correct allocation of charges to the Health Services Agency. It is also recommended to increase revenue $398,700 in CEO risk management unemployment self-insurance funds to reflect a $90 per employee charge. It is also recommended to decrease funding by $189,734 in the General Services Agency due to declining revenue and service reductions from the operating departments. This will result in a reduction in force of 3 filled positions. A fiscal and operational review will be conducted this fall to determine the future financial and service levels for the General Services Agency. A decrease in funding of $114,972 is recommended for Strategic Business Technology Telecommunications Division as a result of declining revenue and service reductions from both internal and external customers. The division will reduce expenditures in services and supplies to offset the decreased revenue.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. My name is Monica Nino from the Chief Executive Office. The staffing chart before you illustrates the reduction in full-time authorized positions from last year's final budget of a total of 4,459 down to a recommended final budget this evening at 3,990. In total for our extra help and personal service contractors, in total those positions have come down to a total of 78. What is before you this evening is a total of the elimination of 7 allocated positions because this board has taken made approvals on various position reductions throughout the fiscal year, and so before you today will be a reduction of 11 authorized positions. Those 11 authorized positions will be, we have 11 vacant positions to be unfunded by priority area, which include 5 in our safe community, 5 in our healthy community, 7 positions for deletion will be 4 in our healthy community, and 3 in our efficient delivery of public services. Since early summer, the CEO's office has been working on financial modeling out to our 2012-2013 fiscal year. This is the year in which we will no longer have that $8 million available to offset expenses in the general fund. We have, of course, focused on perfecting our 2010-2011 fiscal budget balancing strategies. We have assumed no growth in our property tax revenue, and that could potentially be optimistic if we continue to see reductions in our county's property values. Out of 58 counties, Stanislaus continues to rank as 4th in receiving the lowest percentage of locally generated property taxes that comes here locally. Of our 8 survey counties, we are the lowest. The other 7 of our survey counties receive between 12 to 25% in property tax revenues. As a result of the ongoing losses of property tax revenue, significant restructuring of programs and services will be necessary. Upon the pending adoption of this evening's budget, 2 years will remain for the use of $8 million in designations to assist in balancing the general fund budgets in future years. Continued unknowns remain at the state level as a result of their ongoing fiscal crisis. The county's deficit is projected to be larger for next fiscal year due to anticipated increased retirement costs. Projections include decreases in our general sales tax along with our Prop 172 sales tax revenue, the renewal of the county's health care and labor contracts, along with an initial projection for our next fiscal year at potentially over $20 million. The following chart illustrates a shortfall in the current general fund that is currently being recommended to be funded with one-time fundings. You'll see on the very last column of that chart that shortfall of approximately $15.3 million that is recommended to be balanced this evening by the use of fund balance and the use of $8 million in designations. Both of those sources of revenue are one-time funding sources. You'll see in the last fiscal year where our revenues exceeded expenditures was in fiscal year 2007-2008, and you'll see that it exceeded revenues 2 years ago by $6.8 million. As part of the core restructuring of county services, we will continue to be evaluating both our mandated and mandated and non-mandated programs, along with identifying methods to reduce retirement costs. The county will continue to look for multi-departmental efficiencies in containment of health care and labor costs and identifying new sources of revenue. The following is our preliminary budget schedule through our mid-year report. We plan to come back before you as in November of 2009 to present our first quarter report, along with coming back before you in February 2010 for our mid-year fiscal update. This evening, we have 16 recommendations for your consideration. The first one is to accept the recommended final budget for 2009-2010 from our Chief Executive Officer, along with conducting the scheduled public hearing this evening. Direct and approve the changes the Board of Supervisors may have to our recommended final budget, along with authorize the Chief Executive Officer and the Auditor Controller to make the necessary technical adjustments to implement the final budget. Direct the Chief Executive Officer and the Auditor Controller to prepare the final budget document prior to December 1st for the State Controller submission, along with amending the Salary and Position Allocation Resolution based upon the Attachment A, effective the first pay period of September 26, 2009. Approve reductions in force of three filled full-time positions in our Area Agency on Aging and three filled full-time positions on our General Services Agency, effective October 24, 2009. Approve contracts and agreements listed on Attachment C in cumulative amounts, which of $100,000 or greater as of July 1st of 2003, along with authorizing the Community Services Agency to implement two regulatory changes as part of our general assistance program in the areas of maximum grant amount and permanent disability aid, along with authorizing the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Department to transfer $666,384 from the departmental contingency fund, and approve a change in operational hours for our General Services Agency's Purchasing Division to start effective September 21st, 2009, Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 p.m. Approve an increase in three existing designations, the State 1A funding exposure to increase that by $3,425,267. That will bring that total funding exposure to $7.9 million, which is our estimated exposure at this point, along with increasing the litigation designation by $1 million for the potential exposure for the local change of venue case for a capital murder trial, along with increasing the contingency designation in the amount of $1,722,422 to be funded by uncommitted funds from our Economic Development Bank, and authorize the establishment of a new retirement designation in the amount of $2 million for future retirement exposures. Recommendation number 14, to approve the request by our Auditor Controller to increase the teeter obligation designation in the amount of $13,344,174 and approve the redesignation of $41,939 of unused tobacco settlement funds that were originally approved for the Salida Regional Library remodel project. And our final one, which is essentially a carryover designation, which is an overall reduction in our general fund, and to reduce that carryover designation by $1,796,456 for a total carryover in the general fund of $2,808,872, and within our economic development bank to reduce that designation by $1,224,000 for a total remaining designation carryover of $32,959,000, and reducing the community development fund by $1,400,000 for a total carryover of $100,000. To locate our final budget on our county's website, it is available at www.stancounty.com. That concludes our staff presentation this evening, and we are more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Before I open the public hearing, are there any questions of staff or the board? Supervisor O'Brien.
When we talked about general fund revenue, sounded like a little hesitation in your voice about if those revenue projections are accurate. Is that just a gut feeling you have, or do we have facts that say we're not going to see that revenue? But specifically property tax and Prop 172. You said we might need to come back and discuss that.
We are mostly concerned about the Prop 172 revenues, and I think probably Monica and Rick will want to comment as well. We are mostly concerned there, but not so certain as to make a change now. And so if you do sense a hesitation, it's probably a general sense of hesitation that there are more unknowns for the current fiscal year than we would like to see at this point. We also believe that we've hedged against those by not increasing our expenditures, protecting the contingency fund, and not increasing other discretionary revenues that might actually be more positive at this time.
So no hard facts, just your gut feeling.
I do want to comment on Prop 170 a little more than a gut feeling.
And the point I'm trying to make is that if we have known facts that absolutely we're not going to hit those projections, let's make the decision tonight and not kick the can down the street.
Right.
Now, we don't have any concrete information that would indicate that we're not going to hit our numbers. To first build on the property tax side, on locally generated property tax, that we're in pretty good shape. And we don't anticipate that we will be short. And as a matter of fact, we think that our revenues from property tax will come in a little bit higher than our estimate, which would adequately offset any shortfall in Prop 172. So we've strategically covered that if it should happen. Prop 172 is sales tax revenue generated on a statewide basis and reallocated to the 58 counties based on a fairly complex formula. Given the nature of the economic recovery that has occurred between July and now, there's a pretty good likelihood that we could meet our targets because we have significantly reduced the Prop 172 revenue estimates for 2009-10 in comparison with 2008-2009. We think that our estimates are reasonable. The greatest risk is if we see significant additional sales tax losses occurring in the marketplace during the course of 2009-10. We don't have any evidence that would support that at this time, so the numbers we're giving you are our best estimates.
Very good. Thank you.
Are there questions of staff? Seeing none at this time, we will open the public hearing. Open the public hearing. Any member of the audience wishing to address the board on this item, please come to the podium. State your name for the record.
Good evening, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering, Birgit Flatiker, District Attorney. I wanted just to take a few moments to give you sort of a snapshot of the District Attorney's Office, where we are, and it's sort of a good news, bad news scenario. And also take a few moments to thank the CEO staff for their constant and amazing support. I really appreciate the help they provide us in putting our budget together and making sure we're on target. The good news, I guess, is that our staffing levels are essentially the same as they were 4 years ago. We have 130 filled positions currently. We're holding 3 vacancies. And back in 2005-06, we had 131 staff on board. So 4 years later, we're still doing the job with one less prosecutor in place and the other support staff remaining consistent. One reason we're able to do that is, as Undersheriff Hine indicated, there has been a reduction in the crime rate, fortunately. That's really what's kind of keeping our heads above water. So we are on track this year to review from all the law enforcement agencies in this county roughly 21,000 criminal cases. That is essentially the number of cases we were reviewing back in 2005 and 2006. So all things being equal, that's the good news. What concerns me, however, is another set of statistics, and that deals with homicide cases. And as the board knows, a recommendation is before you to authorize $1 million to cover the costs associated with a change of venue in a capital homicide. Murder cases cost more money. There's a number of reasons for that. It's just a fact of life. But here's the numbers. In 2004, we had 63 defendants sitting in a county jail charged with homicide. 63. In 2009, we have 109 defendants sitting in the county jail waiting prosecution for homicide charges. That's a lot for a county our size. So while there's been a reduction in crime stats, it hasn't quite reached to the homicides, unfortunately. Another little piece of bad news, at least from my perspective, is with the prosecutors that we do have, we've got a really fabulous group of outstanding, dedicated, hardworking, ethical prosecutors. I'm anticipating 3 retirements in the coming year. So the good news for that, of course, is some salary savings. The bad news is, you know, these are exactly the kind of folks I need sticking around to do these homicide cases. So we're looking at some challenges in the coming year to really handle appropriately the serious cases. Good news, going back again, because I am ultimately an optimist. The good news is we are doing things differently to make a difference in this county and try and make it safer. I think you're all aware of the gang injunction, which we've been working on for well over a year. Just last week, Judge Whiteside made it permanent in South Modesto. That is a result of some really fine collaboration and cooperation between my office, the Sheriff's Department, and the Modesto Police Department. I fully expect that within a year, we will be able to see there's been dramatic change in South Modesto, and that it is a safer community for the people who live there. I am so convinced of that that we are already moving forward to begin seeking additional injunctions in different areas of the county where they are most needed to protect the citizens and reduce the violent crime rate. I'm convinced that is the way to go, and we are moving forward in that direction. Another piece of good news is we continue to move forward with another fabulous collaboration, again, under Sheriff Hyam mentioned earlier, collaboration between public and private, and that really is an area we need to continue to explore to make the community safer and make law enforcement more effective. For us, that particular collaboration is the Family Justice Center. I think the board members are well aware of that. Chairman Mayfield, about a year ago when he gave his State of the County address, maybe it's been 2 years almost, he mentioned the Family Justice Center as a goal and a priority. We're moving forward on that, and we are working hard to raise money from private sources to make that happen. The whole focus there is to bring together law enforcement, prosecution, and social service groups and victim advocates in one place. So it's a more efficient, streamlined way to do business. I think it will save money, ultimately, and I think it will serve the victims in this community in a much better way. So, good news, bad news, there's a little bit of both. We have challenges ahead, certainly. I, again, appreciate support from the CEO's office and staff. I remain optimistic, but I do think that I have serious concerns about our ability to keep up with staffing levels, but we will do the best we can. Any questions from the board?
Yes, Mr. Robinson. I was just going to appreciate District Attorney Flatter's comments, and it opens the door for the next stage in discussions that we will need to engage in as we continue to prepare for our 2010-11 fiscal year. Birgit's done an excellent job of touching on the challenges faced by public safety programs throughout Stanislaus County, and those challenges are echoed in every department throughout Stanislaus County. One of our major obstacles, of course, are resources. And as I think we've made it very clear, we're facing a minimum of $20 million shortfall for 2010-11, which translates to somewhere between 5 and 10% of the workforce that may need to be further reduced in order to bring to the board a final budget that is within $8 million of balancing. assuming we use an additional $8 million in reserves to support the 10-11 budget as we move forward in our three-year strategy. I think it's really important for the board to understand what the challenges that each of the departments are facing are, and then put in context the challenges that we as an organization, as a county, and as a county face, and trying to find a way with $20 million fewer dollars to provide core services that meet the needs of the community. I think it's important to note and to say very publicly at this juncture that the delivery of services in the community is not going to be the same in 2011 and 10-11 and in future years as it was in 2009-10 and prior years. It simply isn't possible given the economics as we know them to be. One obligation that the Board of Supervisors has, one obligation that the CEO office has to the Board of Supervisors is to bring to the Board a balanced budget. Unfortunately, we don't get to be state or federal government where we can make up the rules as we go and adopt budgets that have no resemblance to reality. So I think that your comments are extremely important. I think that they are even more important within the context of the limited resources with which we work and the need to continue to embrace effective partnerships and to develop programs that can be demonstrably cost-saving while still providing those critical services. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Further questions for our district attorney?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is anyone else from the audience who would like to address the board on this agenda item? I see many department heads out there. Here's your chance. Okay, seeing none, close public hearing, bring it back to the board for action. Comments from the board? Supervisor O'Brien.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a couple comments to make. First of all, my hat's off to the budget team, not only of the CEO department, but of every department out there that worked so hard to create this budget that is full of unknowns, and we got Band-Aids on it to hold this whole thing together. But my hat really goes off tonight to all the employees of the county. Just as the DA just explained, we have employees doing more now than they ever have. And everybody's doing their part. The deficit that we're seeing is just unbelievable what we've got to come up with to make the difference. Next year's going to be worse. We know it. We see it coming. To the six employees tonight who are losing their job in the next month and to their families, it's one of the hardest things we have to do. And my apologies go out to you. But in local government, we have to live within our budget. We don't have the ability to deficit spend and make it up next year or to take money from another jurisdiction. We don't have that ability, so we have to live within our means. So it's a very tough thing to do, and it seems like we've been doing it a lot lately, but it's just something, one of the horrible things we have to do. So thank you to all the employees of this great county.
Supervisor Chiesa.
When we talk about the tens of millions of dollars we're looking at next year being in the red, there's also the unknown of what the state's going to do. We've become perpetual budgeters just like the state has because we're always reacting to not only market forces, but I guess what they bestow upon us, I should say. One thing when I was at CSEC, I just wanted to bring up that we keep talking about the securitization of 1A funds, and I know that I don't think a bill came out. Did it make it out? No, it did not.
No.
But maybe there's going to be another run at that somehow that potentially could have a little impact on our budget, but it potentially has a bright spot of getting some money back. But like Supervisor O'Brien said, I guess we're all in this together. We have to present a balanced budget. That's the way it is, and it's a sad fact that next year will definitely be worse. I I try and tell people that. We don't understand how it can be, but it's going to be much worse, so we all need to prepare together.
And it does worth repeating that when we talk about balancing our budget, we're going $8 million in the reserves to do that. And technically speaking, our budget is not balanced. The board has been willing for probably 3 years to go into our reserves, $8 million each year. Further comments from the board?
I would like to just make a final comment, if I can, before you vote, and that is to just add to Chairman DeMartini's comments. I want to express my appreciation to this Board of Supervisors for your confidence in our leadership in Stanislaus County, the department heads, the budget manager, CEO staff, in allowing us the flexibility, the discretion, and the latitude to develop a long-term strategy to address this issue. And it's your support that makes the strategy possible and will ultimately help it to become successful.
This agenda item requires a 4/5 vote. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. As for the motion by Supervisor Monteith, that includes all 16 items?
Okay.
And seconded by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you.
We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the State Water Resources Control Board regarding an order approving a petition for temporary change to authorize the transfer up to 667 acre-feet of water from the City of Sacramento to the 2009 Drought Water Bank.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the California Emergency Management Agency regarding the U.S. Department of Agriculture's granting of a secretarial disaster designation for the primary county of Tuolumne and Stanislaus County as a contiguous county due to the agricultural losses caused by the freeze that occurred April 15, 2009.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures and the Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Legislative and Fiscal Management Report, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, as you are undoubtedly aware, the legislature did adjourn for the year. We expect that they'll probably come back in at least one extraordinary session if their past is any indication of the future. I'd like to touch on a couple bills, or actually several bills, that are particularly relevant to the county. Senator Dave Cogdill was carrying SB 684, which was a negative bailout bill. The bill has kind of morphed into something else and was amended into SB 85. Senate Bill 85 was a bill that essentially froze the growth in negative bailout for the 2010-11 and 11-12 year and then applied any savings in comparison with the 9-10 to the position of where the negative bailout would have been in 2013-14 and applied the savings against any future growth. So 2-year moratorium and then future growth. What the bill failed to take into consideration and what we think is a very real possibility is that 2010-11 and 2011-12 could be negative growth years for Stanislaus County property values, particularly given what's happening in sales, in commercial real estate at this time. We have asked the bill, SB 85, had cleared the assembly. We asked Senator Cogdill to hold the bill until we can make that until he can make the technical correction to SB 85 to reflect that if property tax values actually decrease in the 2 years, that won't be held against the county, because there was a possibility, in fact, a very real possibility, given the past 2 years, that this bill that was designed to help the county would ultimately have cost the county more money by applying a negative growth to a negative bailout, resulting in a positive greater cost to the county. As bizarre as that sounds, this was designed to help the county, but it could have hurt us drastically. We've asked the bill to be held. Senator Caudill will work on it next year, hopefully, to put the protections that we need to make it successful. SB 532, North County Corridor, is enrolled to the governor, and he has until October 4th to sign it. SB 716, which are the local transportation funds, which we'd adamantly opposed, as it restricted the use of LTF to transit-only purposes in counties our size. We will see what happens, but that is enrolled to the governor awaiting a signature. The Williams Act, no additional action was taken to restore funding by the end of session. Highway users tax repayment, Prop 1A, securitization, you probably heard, SB 65 and 67, which would have created special mechanisms for HUTA, and Prop 1A were not passed. There was a stalemate in the Senate, which caused the bills not to go forward. CSAC is working with the legislature to see if it can have any success getting these bills resurrected before January for the purpose of putting in place those mechanisms necessary for repayment and securitization, repayment of highway users tax and securitization of Proposition 1A. In the other expected news category relative to the state budget, projections already show the 10-11 budget at a $7.4 billion deficit, with 11-12 and 12-13 respectively at $15.5 billion and $15.1 billion deficit. So the legislature and the governor do seem to be moving in the wrong direction relative to balancing their budgets.
And it's a $15
billion with a B. I have trouble with my B's, and so I may have said million, but I'm in $10 billion. And that's all I have.
Okay. No, very good news. Thank you, Mr. Robinson, for your report. This meeting stands adjourned.